Hello, everyone. It's Tim Pichot, and it is December 13th, and you are in for another Crypto Wealth edition of the Liberty Advisor podcast. Today's guest is Xander McKeon of Millennial TV, where you can find him on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and all the other heavily censored platforms out there underneath the Millennial TV brand. And now, Xander's a guy is very, very knowledgeable in the crypto space, and actually, his dad was in the episode where it was the very first episode where I talked about crypto. So this will be the first father and son duo that we've had on the show. Maybe I can get Tim and Adam Draper on next, so you guys can be like a follow up, or I guess like the lead in for them. But for all the ladies out there, very good looking guy over here. So in case I wasn't doing it for you, we've got another good looking millennial out there for you. And he was also a standout quarterback. He played high school, college, played overseas, and that's American football that you throw overhand, not soccer. And I'd like to welcome him to the show. And if there's anything else you'd like to add to your bio, we can add that. And just want to know kind of like what got you started in crypto, what's your goal in all this? And then we're going to go over a whole bunch of the news in the crypto space.
Thanks a lot for the intro, Tim. Yeah, I'm with Millennial TV, where, I do my best as a pro freedom millennial to keep you other millennials informed with information that the mainstream news isn't giving you. And there's a reason for that. If you pay attention to Tim in my episode, you'll definitely start to go down the rabbit hole and, eventually become red-pilled, and that which will lead you here to crypto. So what do we got for him today, Tim?
Well, if you guys want to get further red-pilled, I'm going to be speaking at the TDV conference, and one of the speakers is Mr. Red Pill himself, G. Edward Griffin, who also hosts the Red Pill Expo. So there's no one probably better to get red-pilled than G. Edward, and so I'm going to be speaking with him, and I'd highly recommend everyone checks that out. It's right around Valentine's Day down in Acapulco, Mexico. I didn't find it to be particularly that dangerous, but today we're going to go over all the different news. But first, I sort of wanted to get into, how you ended up getting into crypto. Was it because, your dad told you about it? Or usually, when parents tell you something, you're usually going to do the opposite. So maybe he told you not to look into it. Or what kind of like brought you into the crypto space, I guess, to begin with?
Yeah, and this is the first time kind of getting to tell my story on a live stream. I'm super excited to. My dad, as you know, he's a very, very intelligent guy. As of, coming into adulthood, getting to meet different people throughout business, they always are extremely complimentary, my dad. However, this is the one thing, and I'm very close to him. He's my best friend. That's back and forth. This is the first thing I was like, I learned about something before my dad. And what happened was I came back. It was funny. I was actually scrolling, cleaning out my phone the other day. I saw a screenshot of a Bitcoin video I watched in 2012 that I still had that I wish I would have obviously invested. But so I knew about Bitcoin way back. I'd say probably around 2012. Had a buddy say, check this out. It's internet money. Okay, whatever, dude, just like we all said.
Magic internet money. Yeah.
Right, and in the words of Andreas Antonopoulos, nerd money. And so, which, hey, if you want to learn about anything crypto, go check out the OG Andreas. But I'd just gotten back from Poland. That was my fourth time playing and living over in Europe for, four or five months. And I actually was like, I'm back. I love tech. Where's the future going? Maybe it's time to just teach myself how to code. And I was, I'd just gotten back, was looking to find a job. And that's when somehow I stumbled upon cryptocurrency and Bitcoin. And the funny thing for me was, I think, life's so much about timing. For me, it took, I'd been studying Martin Armstrong since 2015, thanks to my dad, thanks dad. And we'd been studying him together. Definitely go check out The Forecaster, for those of you who aren't aware of the brilliant mind that Martin Armstrong is. And that started to lead me down the rabbit hole, combined with me living outside of the country, year after year after year. I'm reading this economist, I'm hearing information I've never heard, and then I'm experiencing it firsthand in other countries. And it kind of gives me goosebumps, because everyone who really, the light switch goes off, they fall in love with crypto, because it's the people. And ultimately, I think what we're all after is true currency, and that's the beauty about the blockchain, which obviously we all know. But I'm home, I'm decided I'm going to learn code, and I stumble on Bitcoin, and I spend the next 11 days, six a day, on the internet trying to, I barely ate, drank, sleep, wake up. I was like, this is the future, and I need to learn as much about it as quickly as possible, because it was just so obvious to me that this was the next step forward in the technological advancement of our society, our, you know, humans. You know, who would have thought 10 years ago you had an iPhone that, you know, we're sitting here live streaming on that's better than digital cameras? What's a digital camera? Yada, yada, yada. That's what got me to where I'm at today. I like to say there's kind of two people in crypto. This is my own thing. There's conceptualizers, you know, someone who like maybe like you like figured it out yourself, like something, all your other knowledge aligned and you just figured it out. And then there's people who you trust and, you know, someone comes to you and say, listen, man. And so, you know, I always like to say that, hey, Dad, I was a conceptualizer, but hey, you know, and it, yeah, that kind of puts me where I'm at today. So over the last 18 months, I've just done everything I can to learn about crypto, stay in, you know, the inner workings, the drama, the politics, everything, and just try to, you know, spread the information of what's coming.
Yeah, one thing about the drama is, as you know, I initially started off, you know, more of the political route, and then I figured, okay, well, you know, there's really no actual real change does happen, you know, from a political level. It, you know, more, I mean, look at all the changes that's happened going on in France, and this isn't going to be a political show, but everything that happened in France, I mean, more was accomplished by them, you know, basically, you know, coming out there with the guillotines again than, you know, voting had done, you know, in the past 100 years. And also want to give a quick shout out. I saw we got a like from Danny Sessom of the Crypto Show. So, you know, not a bad person to get a, you know, a like from. So if Danny's still watching, you know, I'd like to give him a shout out over there. But, you know, certainly it probably was your overseas experience was probably a big reason why you're into crypto and having to exchange money back and forth. And can you kind of get into maybe a little bit of that?
Absolutely. Yeah. And so, you know, I will definitely admit, you know, TDV, the dollar vigilante, Jeff Berwick, you know, he talks about people and he's like, hey, he's like, you know, when we all start to, obviously there's important things for college and STEM is extremely important for the advancement of society. But, you know, a lot of people are finding out now that this whole college thing has gone awry for them that they got a raw deal. You know, so, you know, Jeff Berwick talks about traveling and the best thing you can do is leave the country and just experience other things. And I think most importantly, as Americans, who have so much prosperity, who've been blessed with so much, it's absolutely imperative for your growth as a person to leave. And the most impactful experience I had was living in Serbia. I lived in Novi Sad, Serbia, Vojvodina, formerly part of Hungary. And it just changed my mind. It just showed, life is all about perspective, right? And when you just realize how much we have and how amazing our lives are, you know, thanks to capitalism. Now we're dealing with crony capitalism, yeah. But
capitalism will get the blame, you know, for what's going on, even though we don't have true capitalism. And right now, I'm gonna blame capitalism on your phone cutting out every now and then, because this is actually amazing that Xander's able to come to us from an iPhone right now. We're gonna get him set up so next time we'll have, you know, probably like a professional camera, so we won't have to deal with, you know, Wi-Fi cutting in and out. But you know, you did mention the TDV summit, and this was not, you know, pre-screened and Jeff Berwick. So you know, for anyone that wants to learn more on this, I mean, you can contact myself, but you've got, you know, people like Doug Casey, who are going to be speaking, you know, who's an expert on, you know, perpetual traveler lifestyle. Also have, where is it, Mark Emery, who is going to be speaking on this lifestyle. I think Michael Cobb is somewhere here as well. Trying to find his picture. At least he was there, I think last time. Anyways, you know, never could find anything when he wanted. But this would be a great place to check out, you know, more about, you know, different perpetual traveler lifestyle of how you can legally avoid taxes. Now, as an American citizen, it is, you know, a little bit difficult because, you know, our foreign income is taxed all around the world. And so, you know, it is a little bit trickier to do that as an American if you're not willing to, you know, give up citizenship. But what I wanted to, you know, kind of switch gears into now is going into, we had a whole bunch of different articles that Xander had sent over, and I've got some articles I wanted to discuss as well. But I guess before we get into that, let's, you know, just kind of survey the scene over here. So this is actually a website that I picked up from Chris Karabatz, Smart Cash, who was a guest on the last episode, or it might be two episodes ago, depending on, you know, because I think I named the interview I just did episode 3, but it hasn't come out yet. So this is episode 4. So, you know, it's you know, part of the learning curve of going here. But he told me about CoinGecko. So Gecko, like, I was gonna say like the insurance company, but no, it's like a little lizard, Gecko. But I don't know if we like, I guess that's Geico, but I never really realized until recently that was like the government insurance, something like that, was like government employee insurance company of something, whatever. But anyways, the reason I like this CoinGecko is you can go from, it has like a 1 hour view, a 24 hour view, a 7 day view. You can switch to all time high mode where, you know, you know, unfortunately, it might make some a lot of people very depressed looking at the all-time high mode as you're seeing, you know, bloodbath going on everywhere. But as it stands today, Bitcoin trading at $3,300, not going to mention what's number two. Ethereum, almost back to the price where I first started buying in at, clocking in at $86. Stellar is only 10 cents. Over 7 days, that's down close to 20%. Tether back underneath a dollar. I think I saw it at $1.02 the other day. So back to 98 cents. EOS just underneath $2. Bitcoin Cash, $92. Bitcoin SV, $84. Litecoin, $23. Cardano, 2.9 cents. Tron at 0.013 cents. And then rounding it out with Monero at $41.60. So just, you know, everything is way down, and when it's way down, that's when you want to ultimately buy. As a financial advisor, everyone always says, you know, I'm not a financial advisor. Well, unfortunately I am. So gotta give the proviso that, you know, this is something where it could easily go, you know, it could drop, you know, quite substantially. Go do all your own research and investments. We're just mentioning these coins as general information, and we're not actually, you know, go talk to your advisor. Your advisor is probably going to tell you not to do it. Then you can come talk to me. So there's your warning. Don't just go out and buy anything just because we're talking about it today. You should always do your own research. And that really goes with anything. But the first article I wanted Xander to get into, I'm not sure if you had one where you wanted to get into first, but I've got the PAX stablecoin exceeds $5 billion in transactions in the first 3 months. So I didn't know if there's anything that you wanted to talk about with that article.
One thing that, you know, just real quick was as far as, you know, looking forward to 2019. So, you know, 2017 was the year of the ICO. 2018 has been, some people try to say, you know, stablecoin is here, but obviously transitioning into 2019, a lot of people think stable coins are going to be a very important segue for some people into the space. And so the really only thing I wanted to show was, you know, you've got Gemini and you've got a few different things as far as coming out with their own stable coins to combat Tether, to which we all know the funny business that goes on with Tether. And I got to admit, man, I'll never forget being, you know, what, last November, I was like, man, like, you know, stuff going up. Maybe I should, you know, maybe the market's going to cool off a little bit. Maybe I should hedge into, and I just fundamentally, you know, if you're in crypto for the right reasons, you can't support Ripple, you can't support Tether, in my opinion. And I just wanted to show the contrast between that article and then the one right next to it saying that.
And we're pulling this up right now. It's just some of the difficulties making sure it gets on the live stream as well. So now we've got the major stablecoin basis to close.
So I just found that interesting. Those are two articles right next to each other, just talking about how one could obviously have, you know, a lot of success, and then the other one lights out, you know, before you know it. So those people can go read the articles and talk about volumes and et cetera.
And you guys can check out all these in the show notes. So that's going to be available at www.thelibertyadvisor.com. There's a podcast section, or you can just, this will be episode 4. So if you type in, you know, /CWE4, you'll be able to find all the links to everything we're talking about today. And it's also, you know, important to note, these guys had some pretty big backing. They were backed by Andreessen Horowitz and Bain Capital. So, I mean, that's where Mitt Romney, you know, was associated with Bain. So, you know, these are not, you know, little small fly-by-night, you know, VCs that are backing this stuff. So I think that made it all of them even more incredible. And then, you know, shifting gears here, we got some news out of France that's, you know, not, I guess, terrible news out of France, which to me, the news out of France is good news, but you don't even hear that news because they're not talking about it. And then, you know, they're trying to hijack what the movement's really about and probably make it about, hey, we want some sort of socialist demands, even though that's not what the movement was about. But if you want to know more about what's going on in France, you can see the third podcast I ever did. The audio was sort of crappy on it, but it was about Macron's ties to the Rothschilds and the Rothschild banking family. And the guy worked directly for the Rothschild Bank. I mean, it wasn't even like, it was actually called the Rothschild Bank, and he was working directly for them. So it's not like you have to make like 50 hops, skips, and a jump and all these theorizations. Like, he is directly a Rothschild agent, and you can find all the details in episode 3. Apologize on the audio quality for that. That was when I didn't know what I was doing, but the information is solid. So anyways, we've got the government reports recommends $570 million blockchain investment. And so what can you tell us about this article? What are they looking to use blockchain for here?
Well, the overall theme, which I just want with all these articles that we're going to talk about, is So the first thing is, when you first get into crypto and you make your first investment, and especially if you enter at the start or right before a bull market, you're kind of just blown away because you just see these numbers and you're just believing what this thing is and the money's running, and it's this FOMO and it's all these weird emotions. Well, before we talk about the articles real quick, I just wanted to cover, guys, 2018 has been such, if you ask any crypto enthusiast who knows anything, they're gonna say 2018 was a fantastic year for crypto. We had so many technological advancements. We had things get ironed out. We had an inflation bug get figured out. We had all these different, just tons of things, so much money being invested in. You have people like NASDAQ saying it's a foregone conclusion. You have, for those of you millennials, younger millennials, Gary Vaynerchuk, he's a really, he's been cutting edges for spotting trends and seeing where the future is going. And he, some people got wrecked who bought at the top, but anyone who buying crypto for the right reasons knows, I told all my friends last year, this is where I think it's going to happen. And I said, personally, last year, we were 5 years minimum away from mass adoption, which may not be what people want to hear, but that's also the truth. When I was just in Spain and I saw the, average place, and I was in Valencia, a couple hours south of Barcelona, most places don't like credit cards. They want cash. And so when you slow down a minute and you say, okay, wait a second, what's it going to take for us as a world to start to accept this currency? We're a little ways out. But in just the France article, people can read it. It feels like country after country after country. You're reading articles about this every day. Wouldn't you agree, Tim, as far as Malta? I mean, back at the end of last year, the start of this year, proclaiming they want to be the face of blockchain with Binance moving there. You're seeing, Romania? I want to say Estonia. You're seeing smaller countries also see the opportunity and say, wow, if we really dive right in and, we hit this early and we're right, this could be fundamentally huge and just change our country entirely. And so that's what I want. People can go read articles. And when we're talking this, I'm not going to just, but I don't know what you think. It's just saying all signs point to yes to me. I mean, it's just really, follow the money, right? Follow money. All the big money is entering the space and is telling everybody we're about to enter the space.
Yeah, I mean, you have, Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan, especially, Jamie Dimon out there, talking bad about crypto. And the next thing they've tried to file like 170 something patents on blockchain. So, don't pay attention to what we're saying, pay attention to what they're actually doing. Yale threw down $400 million. So, I mean, just, probably like a month or two ago on different blockchain investments, the BACT, BAKKT exchange is going forward. You already mentioned NASDAQ. And it's almost like there's so much stuff going on that we can't even, it's like so much stuff is already forgotten. And that's why it's crazy that I did an episode last week with Chris from Smart Cash. And there was just, an absolute ton of news that we went over. And then, I'm like, hey, Xander, mind getting on a podcast? Because I'm trying to come out at least one of these a week. This is being live streamed to Facebook, but you guys can catch the podcast on the website as like an actual, audio, or you can catch the video as well. But we're trying to get on to like Twitch, even though it's owned by Amazon, and YouTube, and trying to get away from Facebook, but have a little bit of technical difficulties. Looks like Xander's having some technical difficulties over there, dropping the camera. But part of why I want to do this is, while everyone's talking about how crypto is dead, you just have a plethora of news, and this is only really scratching the surface. I mean, if we really wanted to, I mean, we could, go on like the entire day just talking about stuff that's probably happened in just in the past week since the last podcast we did. And we did film an episode 2 days ago with the largest publicly traded mining company in the world. And so that is with Hut 8. And so that interview should be coming out soon. So not a bad follow for, lead in for Xander over here, getting sandwiched between the Hut 8 interview. So we should have that. And there's a lot of great stuff. Even I learned some stuff from that interview. But shifting gears here, the next article I wanted to discuss, Xander presented for us, was four major blockchain trends to watch out for in 2019. And did you want to kind of take it away from here? I'm not sure if you've got it up on your screen. I know I didn't share it yet, so let me. Actually, it looks like it is shared.
My face.
You're having some problems with. Let's see. All right. Getting some technological difficulties. So I guess
a gimbal is not a good tripod. Tim warned me.
No, and that's the beauty of technology is that, we're still in the infancy of trying to figure all this stuff out, but right. The audience is right there figuring this out with us. Anyone that thinks that So anyone that thinks it's easy, you know, I would just try to, you know, do it for themselves. But the first trend we have here is we've got the arrival of security tokens. And, you know, to me, I mean, we saw, you know, first it was the IPO market, and you were there for my Nexus Earth talk that I did where, you know, it was on like the evolution of, you know, the initial public offerings where, you know, you had to pay, you know, JP Morgan and Goldman Sachs, you know, several percent, which is, you know, billions of dollars in many cases to do these, to go public. And then there was like this wild west of initial coin offerings. A lot of them were BS in my opinion, but, you know, it was a way to, you know, avoid all the middlemen. And then, you know, because certain people don't want to get thrown in jail, you know, likely myself and, you know, some other people that I know this is a point of contention where some people say, hey, we don't want any regulations. And, you know, to me, I don't want any regulations, but I also want to know that whatever I'm doing, I'm not going to end up in jail or my clients won't. And so, you know, that's basically to the extent of what I want regulations for. It's just, hey, you know, what do I have to do to not end up in a cage like, you know, Ross Ulbricht or, you know, Charlie Sherem or any of the other crypto OGs. So from a security token offering, what that really is, I guess it's a regulated way to, you know, bypass that traditional system where in the future companies can raise money through these token offerings, which is essentially sort of like a, you know, I forgot those like not like a GoFundMe, but one of those, what do they call it? Kickstarters. It's almost like a Kickstarter for a company, but you know, you probably don't have to give Kickstarter, whatever their fee is. It's going to be dramatically cheaper doing it through here. So it is. And then in the future, you could again, this is a regulatory question, is, hey, how would I trade my, you know, share of IBM that I have that's now a token, and I go and change it for Bitcoin, or I go and I trade it for, you know, 3 shares of Apple stock, but it's all done through the blockchain, and it really prevents a lot of the fraud that's going on. And then moving on here, we've got trend number 2 is the rise of alternative asset classes, moving from crypto to digital assets. And I have not read this article yet, but is there anything that you can add about this trend number 2 here?
Yeah, they just start to talk about how things are going to trend. I mean, when you start to see real estate be put on the blockchain and assets become digitalized, overall, what we're trying to do, obviously, blockchain is extremely inefficient currently, but what we're trying to do overall is make our entire financial system more efficient. And so if you look at, you know, disrupting technologies, kind of just like Uber, you know, how they just kind of forged their way and said, we're going to do it, we're going to create a need, we're going to show everybody how much better it is, and then we'll figure out the regulation. That just feels like what's going on with crypto right now. You know, it's the wild, wild west. You know, you don't know what to believe, which is why it's so important to do your own research, regardless of anything Tim or I say today. Do your own research, guys. And that's the beauty of the internet. We're an interconnected network with access to any kind of information we want on demand. Just ask Siri, right? You don't even have to type anything in. But I just think, you know, us coming out of a huge bull market, well, everybody, you know, you start seeing people post on Facebook, oh, I'm so excited about cryptocurrency and blockchain. No, you're not. You think it's a lottery ticket, which is understandable. That's what, you know, 90% of people thought, and I get it. But I just think 2019 is going to be a year, not necessarily where we're going to achieve all-time highs. No clue. I have no idea. One thing I've learned, and my dad can tell you, man, after Bitcoin crossed 10,000 in that bull run, made a little, you know, wager on if it would ever pull back. And you know, I was like, it'll pull back, and I never could have seen it pulling back to 3,300. You know, this is what, about twice the amount it was when I first started learning about, you know, started 2017.
Well, John McAfee certainly hopes
right.
that we get to new all-time highs.
He tries to give himself until the end of 2020, right? Like to the last end. If that were me, I would be saying that's good until the last day.
And maybe he can be in a jet and like travel around the world to, you know, make his time zone go back, you know, as much as he possibly needs to. And I did see an article. I don't have it in front of me, but somebody called Bitcoin or crypto a lottery ticket in a dystopian future where central banks end up crashing. I'm like, you know,
wasn't
I don't know.
Really... like some Harvard economics professor, right?
Something yeah, it's like probably like Ken Rogoff or something. I don't know. I don't really pay attention to these people. And the more prestigious economics degree I have, they have, you know, pretty much like the, you know, less I pay attention. I mean, Q, you know, Paul Krugman or any of these other clowns. Yeah, I mean, and I was 2 classes away from getting an economics major, and I've taught myself 9,000 times more than what I learned in wow. school. And so now we've got the creation trend number
Wait,
3.
Wait, I'm sorry, Tim, did you say the candy? Meanwhile, in Dubai, consumers will soon be able to use digital currency to pay for goods, services, and utilities following a new government partnership with a blockchain provider. And the Bank of Thailand is planning to develop a wholesale central bank digital currency. So I don't know what you think how Bitcoin is going to play out in the long term, but I think it's extremely naive and ridiculous to assume the government's just going to say, okay, we're all on Bitcoin. And it's really the U.S. government who's Satoshi hiding all this, you know, to be dispersed. But I think Bitcoin will be the people's choice. You know, it'll be our choice of a value to try to check and balance to, you know, your nation's currency, so they're not playing funny business like they currently are. That's where I think the future of Bitcoin is personally, but it's another option.
Yeah, I think another important thing to keep in mind is that as you talk about, you know, different mass adoption, that there's going to be a push to have like a government sanctioned fiat of, hey, you got to use ours now, or push to use that, ultimately, you know, the crypto could be used to be like a mark of the beast system. And it's just whether people want to use, you know, ones that are more private and not run by a government and are permissionless, or if they're going to be suckered into like the Goldman Sachs.gov coin, JP Morgan, you know, dot evil coin, you know, or, you know, the Google coin or whatever. So it's important to people, you know, that we're getting this message out to let them know, you know, the philosophical points of, you know, what they should be looking out for. And then we've got, you know, the last article here, we've got a few more articles that I've pulled up, is, and this is just from like, all of these are just from this week. I mean, so from last week to this week, I mean, just
like from like the last 48 hours, Jason. I mean, there's so much.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so much. It's crazy. So we've got, you know, decentralized browser Brave becomes default on HTC Blockphone smartphone. Let me pull over that article. And it's funny. So Xander's like, hey, are you familiar with the Brave browser? I'm like, hey, man, that's what I'm using right now to pull up all these articles. So for those of you who don't know, Brave is a browser that doesn't track what you're doing. It blocks all of the different pop-ups. Sometimes I've noticed on a few different websites it's funky every now and then. I'll have to switch to, you know, one of the other spy devices like, you know, Firefox or Chrome, but for the most part it does work pretty well. And the other cool part about it is, let's say, hey, I go and I'm on different websites, and those websites are then hooked into Brave, and then I can then, it will say, okay, you know, you spent, you know, 30% of your time on these, you know, five crypto websites, they accept Brave. I can click a button to tip them, and it tips them in the, I think it's called the basic attention token. And it's just a cool concept. Again, not making financial advice on it, just you know just shows kind of where things are going. And the new HTC phone is, and which HTC used to be back in the day, were rocking and rolling. I mean, I had an HTC phone. I think it was actually called the Lightning. So not to be confused with, or Thunderbolt. Maybe that's what it's called. Thunderbolt.
Oh yeah, the Thunderbolt.
I knew it had something to do with, Lightning. That was close enough. But yeah, I mean, this is just a blockchain phone where it's going to have its own, you know, segregated cold storage wallet inside of there. At least that's my, you know, beginning. But, you know, eventually it'd be nice to get, you know, one of these phones that's not, you know, based off, you know, Android, because then you're still somehow tied into Google. So, you know, I guess that'd be like my only, you know, criticism. But, you know, I don't want to, you know, I'm not the man in the arena creating this. So, you know, I don't know. It's a good, you know, path forward, I guess, from what we've seen in the past.
It's so tough, because if you ever listen to McAfee, I've seen something online, he talked about just what our, you know, our mobile devices are. He's like, they weren't designed to be secure. They're designed to spy on you. And so that's the only, you know, apprehension I have as far as moving towards a blockchain phone. I have to look into as far as, you know, whether I trust it any more than anything we have right now. But I'm obviously, that's where the future is going. And I think it's super cool. I mean, that's a big time, you know, it's not in Huawei. It's, you know, it's HTC. That's super cool. I think it's awesome news.
Yeah, and I know there's, that
with everybody thinks, like, you know, Lightning, maybe it's gonna be Litecoin. It's gonna run on.
Who knows? Litecoin 2000. I don't know. But no. But with McAfee, my good friend Ernest Hancock is friends with McAfee, and we had him on one of the shows where he was talking about the privacy phone he was gonna come out with. This is a few years ago, and I think that idea got shelved because he wanted to have a phone where it couldn't track you, but the government mandates that they put in these like E911 chips, and so there'd be a manual override. And so what he was trying to do was saying, okay, well, you'll track me, but what you can do is you can say, hey, I'm in a sailboat from the Bahamas to, you know, I don't know, Australia, and then it just shows, and you send out like a flare of like a bullshit signal of where you're not even, or hey, I'm driving across America going 25 miles an hour and in this moving target. So he was trying to evade it that way, but I haven't heard anything recently on that. I think he said the first phone would go to Alan Dershowitz and the second one would go to my buddy Ernest Hancock, and we had that on the radio where he said that. So I don't know if that's actually going to come to fruition or not, but we do have the audio where he said he would give it to Ernie to be number one. And now what I wanted to do was, you know, shift gears a little bit and, you know, quite a few different things I wanted to talk about or articles to mention. And of course, I think one of the articles I wanted to mention, I might not even pull it up, but there was an article from Zero Hedge, which of course I don't even have it right now. I've got like 9 million screens that I'm flipping between. Okay, here, I guess we do have it. So this is each of the top 100 cryptocurrencies explained in one sentence. And so I think it is pretty interesting. And let me, and one of the difficulties as I'm filming this is if I bring it over to the main screen where it's capturing, then I can't see Xander. And so I'm just going to read this off for him. I did send him the articles ahead of time, but as we're working out the bugs in here, I'm sure we're going to get better. But, you know, we got Bitcoin is number one. It's digital gold 2.0, XRP, Ripple, enterprise payment system, Ethereum, programmable money, smart contracts. And it goes through the so let's go and, you know, find a more obscure one. Let's go to Polymath, a security tokens platform, Loom Network, layer two scaling for Ethereum. And I'll be honest, I didn't even know that was not like a segue into the next thing, but what we have here is this actually called this is called Wanna Chain. So the next article I wanted to talk about, and we'll have all these in the show notes, so that is a really good resource just to see, hey, a quick down and dirty of what's, you know, the top 100, and you guys can let us know if those make sense or don't make sense, or if they're liars or not liars, and, you know, and how all that goes. But this is a privacy focused interoperable blockchain that bridges Ethereum and Bitcoin. And essentially what this Wanna Chain saying it's Ethereum plus Monero with a hint of Shapeshift, and Wanchain seeks to perform functions of all above. And while it's not necessarily competing with Ethereum as a token platform, it leverages Wanchain's capabilities, and they would have the inherent ability to be transferred between the blockchains. So it's basically a way to, you know, Shapeshift from one asset to another using this Wanchain, but it's going to be private. And so I don't know a ton about that because it gets into pretty geeky stuff of how it works. And it was just an article I ran across the other day. And I know a lot of people probably haven't heard about that. And again, I know nothing about this one chain, so I'm not making financial advice on it. Just thought it was, you know, a cool thing. So it almost seems like it's like an atomic swap that's going to be private, is sort of like the, I guess, like the skip to the end version of what looks like is going on over there.
Yeah, I was like kind of embarrassed. I didn't realize that was like 6 months ago they did the first like Ethereum to Bitcoin atomic swap, which I didn't even know was possible. So that was just blown away. I was reading another article about that today. They did something a little bit very, I mean, you know, we're so in the Wild West that who knows. I think it's Andreas Antonopoulos says, you know, he said they started with the Ethernet cord and they kept the name. But, you know, by 25 or 30 years later, it completely changed. And yeah, they kept the Ethernet name, but, you know, it wasn't anything of what it was when it first started. I just think that's what you'll continue to see with blockchain and these cryptos in their infant stages. You know, other than Litecoin, Bitcoin, even Ethereum, I mean, stuff's really young. You know, it's ground floor. We're just getting started.
Yeah, I mean, if this was a baby, we'd still be young enough for the Democrats to be able to abort us, I mean, at this stage. I mean, so this is about as I came up with that on the spot, so. Sorry, not sorry to anyone I may have offended with that one. But so really what people are wanting to know is, you know, what's going to be like the catalyst for the next big, you know, bull market run. A lot of people think it's going to be, you know, an ETF approval. That's a whole nother, you know, discussion on, you know, whether or not that makes sense, or we should want it or shouldn't want it. I mean, it's a whole nother topic. I'm sure we could have, you know, an hour of discussion on that. But Jay Clayton, what he goes on to say is what investors expect is that trading in the commodity that underlies the ETF, aka Bitcoin, makes sense and is free from the risk of manipulation. It's an important issue that needs to be addressed before I would be comfortable. And it also goes on to say, you know, we've seen different thefts around digital assets that make your head scratch, and we care that the assets underlying the ETF, aka Bitcoin, has good custody and they're not going to disappear. I think what they also want to make sure is that their friends are the ones who probably, you know, when Goldman Sachs comes out with an ETF, you know, that will probably get approved. But, you know, the Winklevi, you know, whatever, or VanEck and all these other companies that keep getting disapproved. So, you know, so if you're waiting around for the Bitcoin ETF, you know, looks like that's not going to be anytime soon. It probably looks like it's an inevitable eventuality. But one reason people want to have an ETF is because they want to be able to buy it, you know, easily on, you know, through their IRAs, or buy it through, you know, basically, you know, have an easy way to buy it. Because a lot of times about 93% of an asset class's return has to do with what actual the underlying asset class is in. So if you're in tech stocks, it doesn't matter if you're in the best tech stock or the worst. You know, 93% of them are going to be correlated. So if you've, so it doesn't matter if you're an Apple. Now there's going to be outliers, of course, that some do, you know, way better, and some might even go bankrupt. But you know, if you know, if you're in the best, you know, cryptocurrency, okay, great. You're, you know, you're down 75% instead of 90. So 99, I mean, so it's just, you know, rising tide lifts all ships type deal. The other problem is you're not going to have the private keys to this. So with crypto self-direct, what you can do is we can actually set you up in an IRA where you can, I mean, we're not sponsored by anybody, so I'm going to give a quick shameless plug for you guys listening to us. You guys can get, you know, into, you know, for 1 to 2%, which, you know, is a steal. You know, as you're here talking about, you know, credit cards over at 3%, you know, I'm cheaper than, you know, the GBTC, cheaper than a lot of other options, and you get to hold onto the private keys and invest in your own retirement. So if you've got, you know, a project that you're starting up, we can get you in a self-directed IRA where you can put part of that into one of these vehicles. And then if the, and if that underlying asset explodes in value, then now you either have a tax-free or tax-deferred gain. So just wanted to give a quick shameless plug on that while we're talking about private keys. And another issue that people think could be a way to have Bitcoin explode in value, as I'm trying to find the article over here, there's a Forbes article that talks about how a Bitcoin, this is CZ from Binance, and basically he's thinking that, you know, Jeff Bezos and Amazon adopting cryptocurrency could be, you know, the catalyst for next major bull run. And what do you think about that? Have you heard anything about, you know, any plans for Amazon to come out with any blockchain based you know, payment systems or their own crypto or anything like that?
Yeah, a really interesting take that I've heard from a few people that I respect in the crypto sphere is they say, why would, you know, if the average person, you know, doesn't know, you know, about all of the reasons why it's important to maybe store your value in cryptocurrency versus in your bank account, is that, you know, long story short, I believe that Amazon will be able to create their own currencies. And, you know, a lot of people think even with Bitcoin is they're letting the public scale, figure out all the problems because it's open source, figure out everything, invest our own time, energy, and resources to then just, you know, hard fork Bitcoin, you know, like Bcash or, you know, just, you know, Zcash. I mean, anything. I mean, almost people don't realize also so many of these crypto, Dogecoin, I mean, everything's basically, you know, just a hard fork. So I don't know, unless I think it would have to wait for Amazon to adopt it. It would have had to explode before then. I'm really curious. I don't know what's going to cause the next bull run. And some, I was watching Ivan on Tech this morning, and he was talking about how, you know, these cycles with Bitcoin, they seem to keep repeating themselves over and over and over, but they're getting longer, you know? And so some people think 2019 is going to be a super bullish year. Some people are saying, you know, it's not. Yeah, I think that is big news. I think, thanks, Tim, just spread thought. Articles like that are catchy and flashy and can get people to pay some attention, I think that's what'll make people start to understand. And I've had buddies, the reason that I first started making YouTube videos, which I'm sure you too, is I got sick of explaining myself 50 times. You know, when Bitcoin was starting to run, I started getting 5-10 calls a day from people expecting 30 minutes to an hour of my time. And you feel bad because you want to educate them, but at some point you just can't do that anymore. And so what I've noticed is a couple of those buddies who are extremely curious, they're actually still curious. And I think this big bull run that we had last year has kind of cemented it in everybody's heads that, okay, we're talking $20,000. This is a significant commodity. This is something very real that could be very real in the future. And so I think it'll, you know, it happened so fast last time, but everybody knows what Bitcoin is. And the second that some big player decides to put their name behind it, obviously that could be a huge catalyst for kicking off the next bull run. But what about you? What do you think it's going to be?
Well, we're going over all those articles right now, things that it could potentially be. I mean, mostly I think it's, you know, ease of use when you get down to the grandma just button of, you know, in, you know, 1984, if grandma wanted to send an email, it was basically, you know, impossible to do. Whereas today, well, it's also impossible because my grandma wasn't a grandma until 1986. I was over his grandchild. But, anyways, I guess getting back to your point, you know, I had people in left and right ask me about different you know, what's the best, what should I do? And a lot of times it's like, well, hey, you know, I've only got, you know, $10,000. And I'm like, well, have you invested before? Like, well, nothing. I'm like, well, you know, you should probably, you know, hold off and maybe put in $50 here or there. Cause, you know, but John McAfee says go to $1 million. So I'm going to get in. And
I was just like, hey, if you don't really know what you're getting yourself into and you don't really understand, you know, it could be a wild ride. And yeah, you know, it could go to 100,000 someday, but, you know, it can also go way down before we get to there. And can you handle that? And I think a lot of people who thought they could handle it realized they couldn't handle it. And one of the other, I think another thing that's going to make it harder for the price of Bitcoin to kind of grasp is, you know, some of the people that when Bitcoin was at 10,000, you know, from 20 to 10, sorry, my wife calling in here. So we went from 20,000 down to 10,000. You know, at that point, people were psychologically thinking, oh man, you know, just, you know, 2 months ago, I was so much richer. I'm going to wait until it gets back up to sell. And then now they see it go from 10,000 to 3,000. And so for, I mean, there's people that I've talked to recently who are still sitting on millions of dollars of crypto, whether it's Bitcoin or Ethereum or some of these other ones still today. Millions and millions of dollars. And so, you know, hey, you're sitting on $5 million today, but, you know, you were worth, you know, $50 million. Well, guess what? Maybe next time you get up to $25 million net worth, you might shed, you know, half of that. And if you do, not to give another shameless plug, but to go to, you know, find myself, what we can do is different trust strategies where you can sell your crypto into a trust. I've got these videos up on the website too. So if you guys go to libertyvisor.com/subscribe, we'll send you all these different videos. And one of them is my presentation from last year's Dollar Vigilante conference, where I talked about different tax avoidance strategies and what, you know, pretty much like the ultra elite and 0.01% how they do it. And I'm trying to bring that to the crypto space. But for your friends that won't leave you alone on crypto, I made a little video course last year called the Crypto Crash Course, where basically every day I come out with a new video. It's not, some of them aren't even me. A lot of them aren't even me. It's just on how to understand the theory behind it, how to, you know, all the philosophy behind it, how it works, cold storage, hard vault, basically, you know, how to get it for the first time. So, you know, that is a resource people can use if they want to learn more. But I think ultimately it's, you know, hey, we've got to make it get to the point where it's easy to use. And one thing that makes it easy to use, perfect segue, is this is from ccn.com. How did Twitter CEO Square overtake Coinbase as number one buying Bitcoin buying app? And so, you know, that's, you know, to me, was that was news to me. I don't use Twitter, so I didn't even realize how much of a major player that is. But you even have, you know, the likes of Robinhood, which, you know, they just came out with a 3% interest rate for savings, and they're a big player in the you know, crypto purchasing space. So, I mean, a lot of people, you know, they want to rag on Coinbase. They want to talk about how bad Coinbase is. Well, great, come out with their own system and charge less then. You know, Coinbase is so bad, because, you know, Coinbase has done probably more than just about anybody. You know,
one thing I would comment on. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was saying that they've done a lot in order to get, you know, the adoption into the market of, hey, it's
absolutely.
And but no, yes, yeah, so that's what I wanted to mention. You know, and to go back to your the Amazon comment, there is a website, first.io, where you can today buy Bitcoin. You can not buy Bitcoin. You can use your Bitcoin to buy Amazon purchases, save 15% to 30%. You know, you get developers in India, they get paid in Amazon gift cards. They'd rather have Bitcoin. You say, hey, I want these 15 items. Once they confirm it's been shipped and delivered, contract and release of those funds into the developer's wallet, you know, from your wallet. And then, you know, you've got your goods 15-30% off. But, you know, some people are like, hey, you know, I saved, you know, 20% of this hard kit, and all of a sudden they bought it with Bitcoin. It was like $200, and now they got, you know, $10,000 hard kit. So I guess now
that's interesting.
So yeah, so first, it's a Roger Ver thing, so I'm not sure if you're an affinity of Roger Ver. But no, purpose.io. But no, what were you saying before I cut you off with?
Well, I was just going to say, I haven't read that article. It may be a slightly deceiving, just like anything you read, you got to always question it.
Wait, it's not CNN.com, it's CCN.com.
Really? Is that what it is? Oh, no. But something that it might be, to where that could just be a little I don't know, is I use the Cash App. It's phenomenal. It's a substitute for Venmo. I've been using Venmo. Anyone who's a millennial has been using Venmo. You know, used it through college. It's how we first started moving money electronically. But the Cash App, actually, they provide you a cash card, which now Venmo has copied and given you a Venmo card. But you can load it, you know, like if you want to, you know, go out for a night, you don't want to take your bank card, but you want to load your Cash App card. And you know, kind of have shut it off or whatever if you lose it. That may be a reason the Cash App's on the rise. In addition to that, they offer like 10% savings if you swipe with your Cash App card at like Chipotle, you know, popular semi-healthy fast food places or whatever. So that may be a reason that they cash out.
That we ate together was Chipotle.
That's right. It was. And I probably used my cash card. but that may be a little deceiving.
Yes, we were making rain in the desert out there that day.
Yes, we were. It was we were in the middle of a monsoon.
Yeah, and I can't find this next article, and that's interesting about Cash App. Just today, my brother's like, hey, you know, we bought our grandfather. You know, I'm not going to say a present because, you know, they could be listening to this. But you know, I'm thinking about, hey, do I Venmo him? Do I PayPal him? I don't want to pay him in crypto because honestly, I think it's down right now, so I don't want to pay in crypto when it's down.
Right.
You know, full transparency out there. And so you're saying that, you know, the Square app could be a better way, or was it the Cash App? But it's made by Square.
Square owns them, but it is the Cash App.
Okay.
That flipped with the Square Cash App. So yeah, that may be one reason on the number one Bitcoin, because nobody's going to Coinbase to transfer value. But the big thing that people, I don't think, understand is how frustrating it can be. You know, you said it's really hard, your grandma, you know, to send an email. And for us, you know, it's all about perspective and your surroundings and what you're comfortable and used to. I got to tell you, man. So my little brother obviously loves Fortnite, just like any, you know, kid here all around the world loves Fortnite, and he likes his V-Bucks. V-Bucks is the digital currency to buy things within the game, to which at first, to me, in, you know, 26, I was like, that's stupid. Does it change the game? No. Do you get a better player? No, but they look different. So they start owning these virtual characters. So what I'm getting at is, I don't know what's going to spur the next bull run, but it's so simple for me to see how the next 10 to 20 years, as you have Gen Zers come of age and start to contribute to the economy and et cetera, say, just kick the banks. Why do I need you? Banks don't serve a value anymore. They don't serve a purpose. They don't help you. You know, to go to a bank to get a loan. My dad and I talk about it all the time. He's like, all they do is go to overdraft. You know, they just, you know, we don't need to talk about the banks. But it's just, I think that's looking long term. All signs point, I mean, guys, all signs point to yes. It's just really simple. Follow the money. The money's all going in.
That's a eight ball. All signs point. Well, yeah. But you know, last article here is Steve Arm test blockchain. One of the main themes I really like to talk about is A, you know, what's going to, you know, I guess, you know, get us that mass adoption. But for me, it's, you know, real life, you know, use cases. And then also, it, you know, once we get to the real life use cases, we've got State Farm test blockchain solution to speed up auto insurance claim. And basically, what it looks like is going on here is we've got they want to see whether a blockchain platform is a viable product for the insurance industry to use, and it's going to help them automate a manual process securely and create a permanent transaction record of each payment, which can easily be verified for accuracy. It also has the potential to increase the amount of time for consumers to receive their deductible reimbursement, and some $11 billion in claims were transferred due to subrogation in 2017. A spokesperson for State Farm explained in an email, with $750 million dealing with private passenger insurance claims. So they're shuffling a whole bunch of money back and forth. It's a really time-consuming process. You know, that's probably has all these different middlemen involved, and just even to make the payment from one person to another, there's fees and delays involved with that. Whereas through the blockchain, you know, there was articles where somebody sent, like, I forgot, some stupid number, like $800 million for, you know, $10 or something through. I can't remember the exact number, but it was a number that was definitely
like a few weeks ago. Like,
yeah, it was an article from a few. Again, I mean, so much news comes out; it's hard to keep track of. And I'm gonna just segue this to the next guest that we have. Is we got an article from MarketWatch that talks about, you know, Bitcoin is becoming close to worthless, and basically the premise of the article is that, since it costs more to mine Bitcoin than Bitcoin's even worth, that Bitcoin, the price is going to go down to zero. And so we have Andrew Kiegel from the CEO of the largest mining company, publicly traded mining company that is in the world, who is going to be discussing that with us. And I figured, you know, what better person to discuss that with us than the CEO of the largest publicly traded mining company that's out there. And so he gets to share that. But there was stuff that I learned in that interview, so I would definitely check that out. It's going to be underneath. Even though this is episode 4, that's episode 3, you know, it's coming out after this one, but it was filmed before this one. And so that's part of the learning curve of doing all this stuff and trying to get things, you know, we're having that video professionally edited by my cousin Eric Woodrum, who does videos for Damon John, Shark Tank, all these other big people. So I figured it's good enough for Damon John, it's good enough for me. Just trying to see if I can afford it. You know, it's a, you know, does a lot of high quality work. But no, we definitely, you know, loved having you on the show today, and thank you for, you know, doing this. We'll get this out in MP3 format. I'll give the platform. If you're tuning in to us on Facebook, which, you know, probably not a lot of people are, because, you know, I didn't really promote it, and the fact that we're still trying to, you know, figure things out. But that is an enemy platform, so I would encourage people to, you know, definitely go to libertyadvisor.com, sign up for email updates, because you can't take it for granted that you'll be able to hear us forever on these platforms. And if I don't, if I made a big mistake not getting, you know, my 32,000 followers, you know, emails addresses, you know, it's hard for me to communicate unless I pay for them. And, no, it's just, it's probably also a good time to get going, because it shows that your internet is cutting out. So we actually lost the live feed. Actually, it looks like he's starting to just come back right now. So I'm not sure if you got any parting words, but, you know, join us on the show, and you'll definitely be returning to the news more often. And let us know where we can find all your information at.
Yeah. So real quick, Rob, thanks so much, Tim. Obviously, I'm just a young millennial in comparison to the, you know, who you're having on next. So just thanks so much.
I'm the old millennial.
It's fun. You know, you realize you just, that's right. You're the old millennial. But yeah, you're on Millennial TV on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Kind of just getting off the ground, you know, put out a few things, dabbled, and I'm really looking to just hit the floor running and headed into 2019. So thanks a lot, Tim. I enjoy the conversation with you as always. You're a very bright individual. Definitely need to actually talk about some stuff with you as soon as we get off. So I appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot. You guys have a great day.
Oh, thank you for having us. And we'll definitely be in touch. And again, check out all of Xander's links. You guys can check the show notes, where we'll have tons of information there. And until next time, I'll talk to you guys later.